Today is the fourth day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Great to be here with you today, and always. Oh, man. You know, we are really fortunate to have a global campfire. We are really fortunate to have a community that we can be in that's so beautiful and dynamic and diverse like this one, that we can go through the Bible. Like, that's the thing. We're here in a safe oasis to allow the Bible to speak on its own behalf into our hearts and allow God to lead and direct us through it. I am grateful to be here with you today. As we take the next step forward, right now that's taking a step through the book of Judges, which is quite a roller coaster ride. Indeed, I mean, for me, some of the most troubling material in the Bible, it can be found in the book of Judges. And I mean, I think that's somewhat intentional, because the book of Judges continually reminds us that we are looking at a time slice where people are doing whatever they want. And this is kind of what that ends up looking like. We're almost out of Judges. In fact, I think we'll be finishing the book of Judges tomorrow. But to get to the end, we have like one more story that happens to be one of the most difficult stories for me in the Bible. So here we are. Let's dive in. Judges chapters 19 and 20. In those days, before Israel had a king, there was a Levite living far back in the hill country of Ephraim. He took a young woman from Bethlehem in Judah to be his concubine, but she became angry with him, went back to her father's house in Bethlehem, and stayed there 4 months. Then the man decided to go after her and try to persuade her to return to him. He took his servant and 2 donkeys with him. The woman showed the Levite into the house, and when her father saw him, he gave him a hearty greeting. The father insisted that he stay, and so he stayed for 3 days. The couple had their meals and spent the nights there. On the morning of the 4th day, they woke up early and got ready to go. But the woman's father said to the Levite, "Have something to eat first. You'll feel better. You can go later." So the 2 men sat down and ate and drank together. Then the woman's father told him, "Please spend the night and enjoy yourself." The Levite got up to go, but the father urged him to stay, so he spent another night there. Early in the morning of the 5th day, he started to leave. But the woman's father said, "Eat something, please. Wait until later in the day." So the 2 men ate together. When the man, his concubine, and the servant once more started to leave, the father said, "Look, it's almost evening now. You might as well stay all night. It will be dark soon. Stay here and have a good time. Tomorrow you can get up for the trip and go home." But the man did not want to spend another night there. So he and his concubine started on their way, with their servant and 2 donkeys with pack saddles. It was late in the day when they came near Jebus, that is, Jerusalem. So the servant said to his master, "Why don't we stop and spend the night here in this Jebusite city?" But his master said, "We're not going to stop in a city where the people are not Israelites. We'll pass on by and go a little farther and spend the night at Gibeah or Ramah." So they passed by Jebus and continued on their way. It was sunset when they came to Gibeah in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. They turned off the road to go and spend the night there. They went into town and sat down in the city square, but no one offered to take them home for the night. While they were there, an old man came by at the end of a day's work on the farm. He was originally from the hill country of Ephraim, but he was now living in Gibeah. The other people there were from the tribe of Benjamin. The old man noticed the traveler in the city square and asked him, "Where do you come from? Where are you going?" The Levite answered, "We have been in Bethlehem in Judah, and now we are on our way home deep in the hill country of Ephraim. No one will put us up for the night, even though we have fodder and straw for our donkeys, as well as bread and wine for my concubine and me, and for my servant. We have everything we need." The old man said, "You are welcome in my home. I'll take care of you. You don't have to spend the night in the square." So he took them home with him and fed their donkeys. His guests washed their feet and had a meal. They were enjoying themselves when all of a sudden some sexual perverts from the town surrounded the house and started beating on the door. They said to the old man, "Bring out that man that came home with you. We want to have sex with him." But the old man went outside and said to them, "No, my friends, please do not do such an evil, immoral thing. This man is my guest. Look, here is his concubine and my own virgin daughter. I'll bring them out now and you can have them. Do whatever you want to with them, but don't do such an awful thing to this man." But the men would not listen to him. So the Levite took his concubine and put her outside with them. They raped her and abused her all night long and didn't stop until morning. At dawn, the woman came and fell down at the door of the old man's house where her husband was. She was still there when daylight came. Her husband got up that morning, and when he opened the door to go on his way, he found his concubine lying in front of the house with her hands reaching for the door. He said, "Get up, let's go." But there was no answer. So he put her body across the donkey and started on his way home. When he arrived, he went in the house and got a knife. He took his concubine's body, cut it into 12 pieces, and sent one piece to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who saw it said, "We have never heard of such a thing. Nothing like this has ever happened since the Israelites left Egypt. We have to do something about this. What will it be?" All the people of Israel from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, as well as from the land of Gilead in the east, answered the call. They gathered in one body in the Lord's presence at Mizpah. The leaders of all the tribes of Israel were present at this gathering of God's people, and there were 400,000 foot soldiers. Meanwhile, the people of Benjamin heard that all the other Israelites had gathered at Mizpah. The Israelites asked, "Tell us, how was this crime committed?" The Levite whose concubine had been murdered answered, "My concubine and I went to Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin to spend the night. The men of Gibeah came to get me and surrounded the house at night. They intended to kill me. Instead, they raped my concubine, and she died. I took her body, cut it in pieces, and sent one piece to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. These people have committed an evil and immoral act among us. All of you here are Israelites. What are we going to do about this?" All the people stood up together and said, "None of us, whether he lives in a tent or in a house, will go home. This is what we will do. We will draw lots and choose some men to attack Gibeah. One-tenth of the men in Israel will provide food for the army, and the others will go and punish Gibeah for this immoral act that they have committed in Israel." So all the men in Israel assembled with one purpose, to attack the town. The Israelite tribes sent messengers all through the territory of the tribe of Benjamin to say, "What is this crime that you have committed? Now hand over those perverts in Gibeah so that we can kill them and remove this evil from Israel." But the people of Benjamin paid no attention to the other Israelites. From all the cities of Benjamin, they came to Gibeah to fight the other people of Israel. They called out 26,000 soldiers from their cities that day. Besides these, the citizens of Gibeah gathered 700 specially chosen men who were left-handed. Every one of them could sling a stone at a strand of hair and never miss. Not counting the tribe of Benjamin, the Israelites gathered 400,000 trained soldiers. The Israelites went to the place of worship at Bethel, and there they asked God, "Which tribe should attack the Benjaminites first?" The Lord answered, "The tribe of Judah." So the Israelites started out the next morning and camped near the city of Gibeah. They went to attack the army of Benjamin and placed the soldiers in position facing the city. The army of Benjamin came out of the city, and before the day was over, they had killed 22,000 Israelite soldiers. Then the Israelites went to the place of worship and mourned in the presence of the Lord until evening. They asked him, "Should we go again into battle against our brothers, the Benjaminites?" The Lord answered, "Yes." So the Israelite army was encouraged, and they placed their soldiers in position again, where they had been the day before. They marched against the army of Benjamin a second time, and for the second time the Benjaminites came out of Gibeah, and this time they killed 18,000 trained Israelite soldiers. Then all the people of Israel went out to Bethel and mourned. They sat there in the Lord's presence and did not eat until evening. They offered fellowship sacrifices and burned some sacrifices whole, all in the presence of the Lord. God's covenant box was there at Bethel in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar and grandson of Aaron, was in charge of it. The people asked the Lord, "Should we go out to fight our brothers, the Benjaminites, again, or should we give up?" The Lord answered, "Fight. Tomorrow I will give you victory over them." So the Israelites put some soldiers in hiding around Gibeah. Then for the third straight day they marched against the army of Benjamin and placed their soldiers in battle position facing Gibeah, as they had done before. The Benjaminites came out to fight and were led away from the city. As they had before, they began killing some Israelites in the open country, on the road to Bethel and on the road to Gibeah. They killed about 30 Israelites. The Benjaminites said, "We've beaten them just as before." But the Israelites had planned to retreat and lead them away from the city onto the roads. So when the main army of the Israelites pulled back and regrouped at Baal Tamar, the men surrounding Gibeah suddenly rushed out of their hiding places in the rocky country around the city. 10,000 men, specially chosen out of all Israel, attacked Gibeah, and the fighting was hard. The Benjaminites had not realized that they were about to be destroyed. The Lord gave Israel victory over the army of Benjamin. The Israelites killed 25,100 of the enemy that day, and the Benjaminites realized they were defeated. The main body of the Israelite army had retreated from the Benjaminites because they were relying on the men that they had put in hiding around Gibeah. These men ran quickly toward Gibeah. They spread out in the city and killed everyone there. The main Israelite army and the men in hiding had arranged a signal. When they saw a big cloud of smoke going up from the town, the Israelites out on the battlefield were to turn around. By this time, the Benjaminites had already killed the 30 Israelites. They told themselves, "Yes, we've beaten them just as before." Then the signal appeared. A cloud of smoke began to go up from the town. The Benjaminites looked behind them and were amazed to see the whole city going up in flames. Then the Israelites turned around, and the Benjaminites were thrown into panic because they realized they were about to be destroyed. They retreated from the Israelites and ran toward the open country, but they could not escape. They were caught between the main army and the men who were now coming out of the city, and they were destroyed. The Israelites had the enemy trapped, and without stopping they pursued them as far as the point east of Gibeah, killing them as they went. 18,000 of the best Benjaminite soldiers were killed, The others turned and ran toward the open country to Rimmon Rock. 5,000 of them were killed on the roads. The Israelites continued to pursue the rest to Gidom, killing 2,000. In all, 25,000 Benjaminites were killed that day, all of them brave soldiers. But 600 men were able to escape to the open country to Rimmon Rock, and they stayed there 4 months. The Israelites turned back against the rest of the Benjaminites and killed them all, men, women, and children, and animals as well. They burned every town in the area. John 3:22-4:3. After this, Jesus and his disciples went to the province of Judea, where he spent some time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Aenon, not far from Salim, because there was plenty of water in that place. People were going to him, and he was baptizing them. This was before John had been put into prison. Some of John's disciples began arguing with a Jew about the matter of ritual washing. So they went to John and told him, "Teacher, you remember the man who was with you on the east side of the Jordan, the one you spoke about? Well, he is baptizing now, and everyone is going to him." John answered, "No one can have anything unless God gives it. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him.' The bridegroom is the one to whom the bride belongs, but the bridegroom's friend, who stands by and listens, is glad when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This is how my own happiness is made complete. He must become more important, while I become less important. He who comes from above is greater than all. He who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly matters. But he who comes from heaven is above all. He tells what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his message. But whoever accepts his message confirms by this that God is truthful. The one whom God has sent speaks God's words, because God gives him the fullness of his Spirit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything in his power. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not have life, but will remain under God's punishment." The Pharisees heard that Jesus was winning and baptizing more disciples than John. Actually, Jesus himself did not baptize anyone, only his disciples did. So when Jesus heard what was being said, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. Psalm 104:24-35. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. The earth is filled with your creatures. There is the ocean, large and wide, where countless creatures live, large and small alike. The ships sail on it, and in it plays Leviathan, that sea monster which you made. All of them depend on you to give them food when they need it. You give it to them and they eat it. You provide food and they are satisfied. When you turn away, they are afraid. When you take away your breath, they die and go back to the dust from which they came. But when you give them breath, they are created. You give new life to the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever. May the Lord be happy with what he has made. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains, and they pour out smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God. May he be pleased with my song, for my gladness comes from him. May sinners be destroyed from the earth. May the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14, 22 and 23. You will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. If you work for evil, you are making a mistake. Work, and you will earn a living. If you sit around talking, you will be poor. Okay, have you ever, has there ever been like a transitional season that you're excited about, actually? It doesn't just come upon you, but you're starting a new chapter in your life. Like moving or changing careers. Maybe you've decided to go back and finish an education, get that degree. Maybe sit down and finally write that memoir. Maybe you want to change your health in a radical way because you've just been suffering physically and decided to train, and maybe you're even training for a marathon. The decision to act is empowering. It is inspiring. It is good for us. And so we set a date to begin, and we allow that anticipation. Because we're imagining and visualizing the end result, like what it's going to be like when we actually achieve that. And so we're thinking about it a lot. And so maybe we shop for the things that we believe will make the environment that we're going to work in perfect. If we're going to write, maybe some candles, maybe, you know, I don't know, a new rocking chair, whatever. If it's training for a marathon, maybe it's the perfect shoes. Or that cute little outfit, right? You know, I mean, whatever. And then you set that date. Like, maybe it was the first of the month. The first of the month. This is the day my life is going to change. And I'm going to get all prepared and ready for it. And live it up, basically, until then. But I'm so ready. And so the night before, we're so excited. Like, this is it. This is it. And we eat a whole pie, right? Like, we eat a whole pie. Like, this is my going out. This is how I'm going out with it. And then we could barely sleep. And then we wake up the morning of, and reality sets in about 10 minutes later. This is actually possible, but this is going to be a long journey full of very, very hard work. Like all those books on how to write great paragraphs were inspiring to read, but the blank page doesn't write that perfect paragraph. I can tell you that. And all that shopping for like that wardrobe, those perfect soft running pants and those shoes, they're not gonna increase your endurance. And those shoes and those pants and that jacket will not burn a calorie. So, what to do? Right? And at times, we find ourselves plopped back in front of the television with a bag of chips, feeling defeated. Because the idea of accomplishing something new was far more enticing than actually accomplishing something new. Because that will be sacrifice. That will be pain. That will be work. That will be endurance. That's kind of what the Proverbs is addressing today. It says work brings profit, mere talk leads to poverty. So these words profit and poverty in the passage aren't only referring to like coins, money, financial instruments. They refer to abundance and lack. In other words, talking about doing something does not get it done. It might fool your own self. Like, it might be a way to lie to yourself to make you think you're making some kind of progress, but you're just lying to yourself. It's not getting done. And planning meticulously even to do something does not get it done. Reading a book on writing will not make you a writer. Buying the right running shoes will not make you a runner. It's the work involved. It's the pain, the sacrifice, the sweat, the endurance, the commitment that moves you from desire and lack to fulfillment and abundance. And this truth, I mean, this is principle, this touches everything. This applies to everything in our lives, including our relationship with God. Like, desiring to know God and reading more books about God isn't going to create intimacy with God, like, any more than reading a book about your spouse is going to make you more intimate with your spouse. It might be informative, but if your relationship is to read about him or her, well, that's not a relationship. So Proverbs kind of gives us a concise thing to think about. Like, what are the things that we need to stop talking about and get to work on? And let's invite God into that today. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, Comforter, Corrector, lead us into all truth. We are very complicated people. We have all kinds of little systems to fool and lie to ourselves and fool to lie to everybody else. And we don't even know that we're lying to ourselves. It becomes a really, really false, twisted reality we find ourselves in, especially when we hit the bottom. But there is a way. There is a way that leads to life. There is a narrow path that leads to life, if you ever find it, but there is a way. But desiring to walk that path and walking that path are different things. And so we can fool ourselves that we are on this path by saying the right things. By looking right when we go to church and saying all the right things and lifting our hands and doing all, knowing all the words, whatever. But that's not going to get it done. Playing a part is not going to erase who you really are. So Holy Spirit, help us to understand that if we desire physical fitness, then the pain and endurance of that work is before you, because it's the work of fitness. If you've been struggling in your heart and your mind, in your mental health, and you're like beginning a therapeutic journey or something, that is the work before you, to build your mind, to disentangle and unwrap and unpack all of these things that have been imprinted on you and that are surrounding you, and you're collapsing under it because it's not who you are, but there's no way out. That's the work of it. If intimacy with God is what is important, like a relationship with God is what is important to you, then that is a relationship. And if we've ever been in a relationship, we know that is work, to be joined together and become one with someone. To be naked and unashamed with nothing to hide, to be fully known, fully with nothing to hide. Most of us, all of us, can't even comprehend that notion. but this is the offer to be fully known. We run around trying to be seen, but we can be fully known if we will do the work of relationship. This is the offer. But there is huge work between here and there in spirit of truth. You will lead us into all truth. That is a promise. You will step through everything with us. That is a promise. But as it turns out, you won't do the work for us. You will guide us and accompany us. And watch us and cheer us as we gain those muscles, as we gain our strength of mind, as our relationship becomes solid. So what is the work? Lead us into all truth. What is the work that we need to begin today? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base. This is where you get connected, stay connected, be connected. This is, well, these are the portals into the community, and everything is all brand new. Kind of moving into this second week of the brand new app and platform. And at this point, we're feeling pretty well moved in, but definitely continuing to work, continuing to help everybody move over if you haven't yet. Definitely migrate over to 2.0, because 1.0 is going to be discontinued very, very shortly, necessarily. When you get there and get some time and you're looking around, check out the Daily Audio Bible shop, because it's a rebuilt, brand new, all things new kind of experience that we will grow from here. But the Daily Audio Bible shop is chock full of all kinds of new things. We're beginning to work our way toward engaging our senses in the scriptures. And so, well, brand new global campfire candles, for example. Are they brand new ones? We've had them in tins before, but these are really, really frosted glass. It's really, really pretty. And man, this is, a scent that we developed ourselves. Like, we worked with a perfumer to create a recipe that we wanted to use that would be a representative aroma of Daily Audio Bible. And so it's really sweet, like sandalwood, and it's really beautiful, but it has this really distinct hint of campfire. And so, yeah, there's this beautiful candle. Also, like, never ever had this before, but room spray. I use that all the time. It just kind of fills the room with this slight, sweet, earthy aroma that has this hint of campfire, because we are the global campfire. There's all kinds of new things in the Daily Audio Bible shop, so yeah, check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what happens here around the global campfire every day is a meaningful and life-giving part of your life, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Clever Lisa T in Tennessee, and today is May the 1st, and I'm coming with an urgent prayer request, although I know this won't play or be heard until well after the fact. My pastor has 6 children, and several of his older children are already married with their own children, but his oldest daughter, her name is Madison, and her husband, Alex, are expecting right now their first baby. It's a rainbow baby, so it will be their first baby here on earth. Her name is Presley. She's 29 weeks gestation, and Madison and baby Presley are having complications right now, and they're in distress. So she's being prepped for a C-section. And so I would just pray and ask you all to pray that, first of all, baby Presley will be delivered safely, and that aside from being premature at 29 weeks, that she will have all of her, organs and body parts and things developed and formed, and that she will be a healthy girl, and that she will thrive and live and have no complications. And also for Madison, that she will not have any complications post-delivery, that she will be well, that she will recover from this, and that she will be well. And we know with modern medicine today that 29-week babies can live full lives, and so I just pray that that is the case for baby Presley. So I appreciate you all and joining me for that, and hopefully we'll have a very wonderful praise report soon. Thanks, family.
A sweet young lady that we know, that we've known since she was in first grade. She's now 30 and was pregnant with her third child. She was 37 weeks pregnant, and she had a seizure, fell, hit her head. They discovered that she had a brain fistula that probably caused the seizure incident. They were able to go in and deal with half of the fistula, because if they'd have dealt with the other half, it would have rendered her blind. She did recover enough to go home, but had to return to the hospital because she developed pulmonary embolisms, or blood clots in each lung. So then she went back in for a couple of days. She came back out. Now she just was readmitted again because she had a major brain bleed. She has since had a stroke and cannot use one arm or leg. They are in the midst of removing half of her skull to allow for swelling, and then they're going to work on that second portion of the fistula so that hopefully she will be able to have a normal life. The baby is doing well, was delivered, like I said, 3 weeks early, and has not really had a chance to bond with mom. So just praying. The young woman's name is Katie, and so just pray for Katie, her husband Stu, and their little baby girl, for Katie to recover from all of this and be able to have a normal functional life after this is all over with. Praying for no infection, for them to be able to reattach her skull soon. Thank you.
Good morning, daily audio Bible family. It's Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada on April 30th. You know, this daily audio Bible family have just been riddled with cancer diagnosis in different shapes and sizes, whether it's their own selves or family members. And this morning, I want to bring up Betsy from South Carolina to you, Abba. Grayson, her son, 17 years old. You know everything about him. You know all about this rare brain tumor. You know how he became legally blind and left side paralysis, and the MRI, which recently showed that he's having a bleed and he's hydrocephalic, and that had been missed. But Abba, you see this mom and you see this boy. And you see all the family and friends that are so concerned about him. But you are the divine physician. In Isaiah 65, you said, "Before you call, I will answer, And while you're speaking, I will hear. Hear the prayers that we join with Betsy and call out to you for healing of Grayson. You know, she said he was an active boy. He was doing well in school. This has put him on a setback. But you can heal him, Father. You can show the doctors what they have failed to see. You already saw it. And you are going to miraculously touch him. Oh, Lord, may he not be discouraged. May his family not be discouraged because you are walking with them.
Hello, this is the Woman at the Well from Northwest Arkansas, and I just wanted to say that I love our new home, and I'm so proud of it. I love the new app, and I am one that's not real big on change. You know, I'm old, and I'm so old that I didn't even want to leave a typewriter for a word processor, but I love this new app. It was a beautiful change, even transition for someone old like I am. And being from Northwest Arkansas, where we have from Fixer to Fabulous for HGTV, I just feel like someone came in and remodeled our already beautiful home. But now it is gorgeous, and I love it. It's beautiful. Thank you so much, Brian and Jill. We love you. Bye.
Greetings to you, my DAB family. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee. Still walking in the light in Tennessee. I called as I suddenly, like, got that, you know, boing in the head that says, what are you thinking? I need prayer for my oldest son. His name is Marcus. He is out of the home. He's an older son now. He's not a young man anymore. And he has issues with drugs and alcohol and currently just health issues, everything. And he can't stay in my home because the battle is too much for me. And so I need your prayers. I know that there's some prayer warriors out there. And the prayer is for protection, survival, and that he might find his way back to himself and back to his God. So I'm trusting my DAB prayer warriors to pray. Praying for so many of you. I love you all. And let me say, the new app, Brian, is outstanding. I'm just loving it, loving it, loving it, finding my way around in it, and just still enjoying it. It was seamless. One day I was doing the old app, the next day I was doing the new app. I mean, that's awesome, the technology, the wisdom. God is in control, and he is really blessing this group. So let's pray ye for one another. Be kind to one another. Love one another. For all of you who are going through, believe me, I hear you. I'm praying with you, and I love you. To God be the glory. This is Walking in the Light in Tennessee, still walking in the light in Tennessee. Good night.
Good day, Dab family. This is Victorious in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, calling in with a praise report. I am so happy to say that my sister, Bridget, got her results back from the radiation treatment she had a few months back. Everything is looking really good. The cancer has not spread, so the doctor is very pleased and will be keeping tabs on her, another CT scan in about 10 weeks. Needless to say, we are all very appreciative and happy that things have gone this well. No other treatment needed, no chemo. So thank you very much, all of you, for praying. I love all of you, and I will continue praying as well. I've been part of this family for 3 years now and have never felt more loved and accepted. Thanks again. I wish you a blessed day.